Welcome to the Jaguar Podcast, a show where we discuss all things related to Duval County's finest NFL football team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Duval, baby!
Hey, John, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Before we start off the show, you know, we always want to know who my guests are. So let the fans know who you are. What do you do on your show? What do you talk about? Talk about your podcast. So introduce yourself to the 49ers Ultimate Report community.
Yeah, so I'm Andrew from the Jaguar Podcast. I've been doing this podcast for about 2 years. It's a Jacksonville Jaguars grassroots fan podcast. I used to live in Jacksonville. I'm actually based out of Virginia, but I used to live there, come from a military family, Navy brat. So, was growing up when essentially the Jaguars started in 95, and it was really exciting. And that was also, you know, the year that the Braves won their World Series against the Indians, the Cleveland Indians. So that was exciting as well. And just became a super huge fan of the Jaguars and just love doing it. So I like to do, I like to do a lot of podcast, you know, work. And I like to have, you know, I bring on some of the Jaguars players too as well. I had Jimmy Smith, star wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And even go back to the old days where, you know, I had Natron Means on, running back, used to play for the Jaguars and the San Diego Chargers. So just love talking to the players and love doing it, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so thank you very much for hopping on. I know the guests are going to be very excited, listening to you about your Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to say quickly to my boy Kimbo, how are you doing? And I like it. Let's go, Niners fans for life. So thanks for hopping on. My resident Philadelphia Eagles, he's also a little YouTuber and podcaster himself. He's 14 years old. He talks all things Eagles. I want to say what's up to my boy Big Play Slay, or BPS. How are you doing, my man? And of course, it's my biggest fan, one of my biggest fans up here, but I think I call him one of my biggest fans. It's David. How are you doing? It's Niners all day. And no matter who we play, if we play our divisional games or other teams from the AFC, it's Niners all day. So thanks very much. And feel free to leave your comments. If you want to have questions, I will read them to our guests. But let's jump into the episode. And we're going to start, like always, with our first question. Last week, we have to talk about last week before we talk about the game. So last week, you guys played with the Colts, right? And what were your thoughts on the game?
It was a good game, John. I mean, I think there were some special teams mishaps early in the game. There was a blocked punt. You know, Logan Cook tried to get the ball off, and it was blocked. And then the Colts returned it back for a touchdown, so that wasn't good. So we started off a little sloppy, but we tightened it up. And, Jamal Agnew, essentially a free agent we picked up, he has just been incredible wide receiver, but also a special teams guy. He ran one back actually against, I believe it was, I'm trying to remember which team we were playing. It might have been the Cardinals. He ran one back for a touchdown when they tried to kick field goal. So that was pretty incredible, and he's been great on the ground, with jet sweeps, and he's just kind of that Swiss Army knife player. So it was nice to see him get going. You know, Trevor Lawrence had some struggles connecting with wide receivers, a lot of drops by our wide receivers. You know, Laviska Shenault had some drops, Jamal Agnew had some drops actually. So that was a little frustrating, but the defense really showed up, and it reminded me a lot of the Buffalo Bills Jaguars game, where, you know, we were able to get a lot of pressure on Josh Allen, quarterback for the Bills, and force a lot of three and outs. So I was just really impressed by the defense. Our defensive coordinator Joe Cullen sent a lot of blitz packages in the game against the Colts. So it was nice to see us get to Carson Wentz, but we have to put four quarters of football together, and I think this team is still just trying to figure out how to do that.
you know, you mentioned, you know, the Buffalo Bills game, you know, you guys won that game. I wanted to ask you this question, you know, because, you know, I think everybody thought Buffalo was going to win this game. So I wanted to get you also your thoughts. Like, what did you guys do in that game to only allow them to, I think the score six, I think it was the score 9-6. What did you guys do in that game that was different versus all the other teams, you know, Buffalo has played? So I want to get your thoughts also on that game.
Yeah, John, I think it's, we were just aggressive. We kept our foot on the gas pedal defensively. We had, you know, a lot of good coverages, you know, by Shaq Quarterman, our quarterback, Shaq Griffin. There's two Shaqs on our team. We have one that's a linebacker, one that's a corner, but Shaq Griffin had a great game. He was able to lock down, you know, Stephon Diggs, and he was pretty quiet in that game against the Jaguars. And we just didn't give up a lot of big plays. And again, we sent a lot of blitz packages. You know, DeJuan Smoot, our defensive end, I believe he had a sack or two. Josh Allen had a great game, was able to get to the quarterback, and he proved himself to be the better Josh Allen in that game.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised, you know, that you guys won that game, because I thought, all right, Buffalo, you know, they're the better team. You know, they have a great quarterback. You know, everything has been perfect for them. But it really shows you any given Sunday can happen. And just like last week for the 49ers, you know, we were supposed to lose. You know, we were coming off of one of the worst losses this season, the way we lost to the Cardinals. And then the following week, we beat a team that's supposed to be, you know, contending for the division, probably a top seed spot. And we beat them, and we beat them very badly. So, yeah, anything can happen in the NFL. So I always like to get fans, you know, thoughts and reactions when they're supposed to lose against a really good team and they beat them. And it shows you that sometimes, you know, it's just working that Sunday. For some reason, it's just working. So thanks very much for giving me that, you know, that answer, because it just like the 49ers. So now let's move on, and I want to, you know, spotlight some players. And I know you have more players that you want to spotlight. So I chose, you know, I always choose three random players. I try to choose the best players. I will also do my homework. Of course, Josh Allen. I was a huge fan of Josh Allen when he was coming out. I thought the Niners might have drafted him if Nick Bosa went to the Cardinals. But Josh Allen, you know, he's having a good season. Those are his numbers right there: 41 tackles, 5.5 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 4 pass defenders. He has an interception, a fumble recovery. We have Damian Wilson. He leads the team in tackles, and then you also have James Robinson, who's your running back. 6 touchdowns, 5.4 yards per carry. He also has 22 catches, averaging 7.3 yards. So besides these players, you could talk about these players, but besides these players, are there any other players you want to spotlight for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Dan Arnold would be one of them that I think I would spotlight. Our tight end that we acquired in the trade with Carolina for CJ Henderson. You know, I was a little kind of skeptical on that trade. I didn't know how it was going to work out. CJ Henderson was also a first round pick for Jacksonville. So trading away a first round pick was, it didn't really sit well with me initially, but you know, Dan Arnold's had a great couple games. He's getting open, he's getting separation, and he's making some crucial catches. So I think that's proven to be a great acquisition for Jacksonville. Jamal Agnew would be another one I would highlight. Wide receiver, like I mentioned previously, we picked him up in free agency. He's just been incredible, you know, with special teams, and you know, is able to do a lot of stuff on the ground. Kind of similar, he reminds me a little bit of what Deebo Samuel does. You know, he's kind of a Swiss Army knife wide receiver. He can run the ball, but he can also you know, catch the ball, and he's a deep threat. So those two players really, I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence, he's the rookie quarterback for us. He struggled a little bit, you know, last week, but it seems like every game he's getting better. He's kind of, you know, slowly progressing. His reads are getting better, his progressions are getting better. I think really a lot of his problems in the last game were caused by drops, you know. And then there was that fumble. But I think, you know, that's just going to come with time. With ball security, you get better as a rookie.
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons why I did not spotlight Trevor Lawrence is because, you know, he's a rookie, you know. And one of the things that I will say when I look at his games and his sacks, he, you know, he's not being sacked a lot like most quarterbacks. So, you know, he's probably doing a really good job avoiding the sacks, avoiding, you know, the quarterback hits, you know, and he's very young. So you usually when it comes to rookie quarterbacks, I don't put any stock on them until the second year and see if they have either, you know, a sophomore slump or, you know, they start to get better and better. So hopefully, you know, he pans out for you guys, because there's still a lot of criticism of that he's not going to pan out. He's going to be a bust. He won't be on your team in the next 4 to 5 years. But at the same time, you know, look at these players and why. Like, as I mentioned, I like Josh Allen coming out of college. I love this tape. I love his film. He didn't go to the big schools like, you know, Nick Bosa or Ja'Marr Chase, those guys. But, you know, he, you know, is a really good player for you guys. And he's a good cornerstone piece, you know, not just for your defense, but you can build around. Damian Wilson, you know, a guy who, you know, is your, you know, leading tackler, shows you that he can get on the players, you know, on the ball. And when someone's tackling, you know, he's doing their job, avoiding, you know, those, you know, long runs. At the same time, James Robinson, you know, a young running back, everybody thought was, you know, Travis Etienne was supposed to be the guy. You know, he's out for the year. And, you know, this guy's a really good running back, you know, still needs, you know, some time to see, you know, if he'll be at the top of that list of the best running backs. And of course, you mentioned all those other players as well. As I mentioned, I don't know a lot of them, but the Jaguars have a lot of talent. It's just unfortunate that they're still a rebuilding team. Hopefully in the next couple of years, you know, they can start to contend for the division. So are there any other players you would like to spotlight, or, you know, or you want to talk about these players?
I think the other player I'd like to talk about, and you mentioned him, is James Robinson, undrafted free agent out of Illinois State. We picked up. It was, you know, turning out to look, or it's looking like he may be a diamond in the rough. I mean, huge pickup for Jacksonville, had 1,000 yards rushing last season. And I think he's going to be a crucial component to the team moving forward. There's a little confusion in my eyes with the Carlos Hyde situation, and how I feel like Urban's kind of giving Hyde more of the carries, you know, in some of the games. But I think they really need to be feeding James Robinson, give him the ball, because I think he's going to take some of that pressure off of Trevor Lawrence, and, you know, kind of balance out the game plan a little bit more. So I think he's going to be a crucial component even in this game.
So I want to say what's up to my boy CG Ruthless. He has a question, and I actually am very intrigued about what your answer. What are your thoughts of Trent Baalke? He's the coach for the 49ers. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, I knew I was going to get this question. I'm not a huge fan of Trent Baalke. I think we should have gone out and found, you know, another GM, preferably from, you know, a team like maybe the Ravens or the Chiefs. So you have like Joe Ortiz over there, who's, I believe, he's head of player personnel, and I think he's done a really good job. You have Mike Borgonzi, obviously building up that Kansas City Chiefs team. So I thought we had a lot of opportunities to go out there and find a GM that, you know, would help, you know, build this team more, help us draft better. And I feel like we're not there with Trent Baalke. And I mean, the history proves it, right? I mean, you guys have kind of suffered under the reign of Trent Baalke as well from a from a GM perspective.
Yeah. I just want to let you know that you were just cutting out a little bit, just, you know, giving you a little bit of heads up. Yeah, you know, for me, when it comes to Trent Baalke, I was never a big fan of Trent Baalke. Even when I was a kid, you know, when he was hired, I was never a fan of him, because he basically, you know, created this idea of bringing in these injury-prone players with very high skill talent for whatever the reason. And it's been burning us, even, you know, during the, you know, Tom Sula, Kelly, and even Kyle Shanahan for some reason. And John Lynch has the same mentality, you know. So I was never a big fan of Trent Baalke. So, yeah, so I think we both can agree with that. Let's see. My boy also says, why do Jacksonville trade away talent like a yard sale? So I don't know if that's I don't know if he was being, you know, like a little bit sarcastic, but is that true? Do you guys trade away some of your top talent away?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, the Leonard Fournette trade was a big, I feel like we should have at least let him work out, you know, or finish out his fifth year of that contract. I mean, trading away a first round pick just never sits right. And I just didn't feel right about that one. And he had the numbers to prove that he, you know, he could help this team. So that one was kind of unfortunate. The Gardner Minshew trade was, you know, obviously one that sticks out for me that I wasn't happy about. I think Minshew would have been a good backup, you know, and now we got your former quarterback, CJ Beathard. So that's I think he played okay in that Bills game. Was able to make a crucial first down there, throwing to, I believe it was Dan Arnold. But, yeah, I think we do trade away a lot of talent, and it's unfortunate. So that's why I feel like we really need to beef up at the GM spot. Hopefully we find somebody in the off season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, yes, you know, unfortunately, you know, sometimes, you know, when you guys have talent, and it's not just, you know, your squad, but there are a lot of teams that have a lot of good talent, and it's always that like 8-8 threshold for like 3-4 years in a row. Like, well, what's going on? You have all these great talent and something's not clicking. So sometimes you do have to restart all over. It's not a fun process, because just a few years ago, you guys were in the AFC championship game. You know, fortunately, you guys had to, you know, deal with Tom Brady. So, you know, that's not really, you know, pretty fair. But yeah. And then after that, you know, I don't know what happened, but, you know, that team was not the same anymore. So I do agree with that. Sometimes, you know, you just have to rebuild. Sometimes you wish you can keep those players, but it's the NFL. It's about winning championships. And sometimes you can be just average, and if you want to be that, that's okay. But everybody wants to hold up that Lombardi trophy. So sometimes, you know, it's smart, but at the same time, the fans are not going to understand it. So I agree with that. So I wanted to say that as well. So let's move on to some key 49er players. I have Aziz Al-Shaair. I'm also going to talk about Deebo Samuel and, of course, Nick Bosa. But we're going to start off with Aziz Al-Shaair. I'm not sure if you know who this guy is, but he's one of our linebackers. Everyone talks about Fred Warner. Dre Greenlaw, apparently, I think, is making his return. I'm not sure if that's 100%, but I've been seeing that he's been practicing this week, so I'm not sure he's going to get a lot of snaps, but during his absence, this guy called Aziz Al-Shaair, I'm a huge fan. He's the 49ers, like, top tackling guy. He can do it all. These are his stats. So before I tell you anything about him, what do you know about Aziz Al-Shaair? And if you do know about him, are you worried about him being on the field?
Yeah, I'm definitely worried. I mean, it's when you have a linebacker like that, that has the numbers like you just have up on the screen here, he's definitely a defensive threat. I think the key for Jacksonville is going to be, you know, blocking him and taking him out of the equation. You know, our guards have to get to the second level, you know, with run blocking and make sure they get on him, because he's going to, you know, he's going to make a lot of plays. He's going to make a lot of tackles, and he looks like he had a fumble recovery there. So, you know, I think it's definitely somebody I'd be worried about if I was, you know, Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars, you know, making sure, you know, trying to figure out ways of minimizing him, because he looks like he's a disruptor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, a little background of Aziz Al-Shaair. Basically, he was, I think, a late rounder in 2019 or an undrafted free agent. And last year, at the end of the season, he started to start to play at a top-level performer. And this year, because of Dre Greenlaw, who's had to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a groin, you know, tear, he's been the guy that's been stepping up. And Fred Warner hasn't been the guy who we thought was going to have a better year than last year. And so luckily we've been able to have this guy. And one of the things that this guy can do is that, and I don't know if it's going to worry you, but this guy can also do some pass coverage, you know, to help out our secondary, which has been a little bit of an issue earlier in the year. His lateral movement of side to side is very quick. He can be in the middle of the linebacking position, and he can move to the left side very quickly, to the right side very quickly, and he's also an extension of the run game because our interior defensive line hasn't been performing very well. So the way I see Aziz Al-Shaair, he's an extension of that D-line and that run game, and also an extension of the pass game. So technically we have, usually we play like 4-3. We have five the defensive, you know, line people with Aziz Al-Shaair, and we have five and sometimes six when it comes to our pass coverage with Aziz Al-Shaair. So he's going to be giving your running backs, your wide receivers a really hard time when it comes to, you know, certain types of coverages. So just wait to see what, you know, tomorrow how he plays, and he's going to be all over the ball. So this is a guy that I think Jacksonville fans and the Jacksonville Jaguars should have a very, very, you know, they should have done their homework with this guy, because this guy, he does everything.
No, I think you're totally right. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have, he's definitely going to have to look out for him, because, you know, he's had some problems with linebackers and throwing into double coverage. So, you know, if he's not careful, this guy could definitely jump a route and take it to the house. So.
Yeah. And of course, we're talking about Deebo Samuel. You know, I don't know, your thoughts of him, but I think almost everyone has some thoughts on Deebo Samuel. Basically, he's going to be the first 1,000-yard receiver in quite some time. I think since the Jim Harbaugh era, I don't know if it was in 2013, 2014, but since, you know, Jim Harbaugh left, we've not been able to get a 1,000-yard receiver. But what he can do is what a lot of people don't know is that Deebo, all he needs to do is basically just catch the ball for 5-10 yards, and he can go and get 20, 30, even 40 yards with the speed that he has. So you look at, you know, what he's done. He has 5 touchdowns, basically 21 yards shy from 1,000 yards, 54 catches. But you look at that number, almost 20 yards, just 2 yards shy from 20 yards in average. That's how good Deebo is. But in the last game against the Rams, you saw him run the ball, and he ran the ball pretty well as a running back. This guy can do everything, and I don't care how good Josh Allen and, you know, some of your top defensive players, if you're not able to, you know, guard this dude any type of space, even if it's like 1 or 2 inches, if he has that open space, he's going to use that speed, and he's going to go down the field. So the two questions, question number one, how scared of Deebo Samuel are, and what are certain things that your defense can try to do to slow him down?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I listed him as one of my key matchups in my game preview episode for this game. I think it's going to be, you know, like I said, Shaq Griffin on pass coverage has to lock him up, has to, you know, press Deebo Samuel and just give him a hard time all day. I think if I was the defensive coordinator for Jacksonville, if I was Joe Cullen, you know, I'm trying to make sure that, you know, my linebackers and my ends are playing outside contain. I can see a lot of like jet sweeps or like, you know, handoffs to Deebo Samuel and him working the outside, which we traditionally haven't been as good this year, I think, you know, with outside contain. So that would be something that would really worry me. And then also the running game. All right. You have Elijah Mitchell who to my knowledge won't be playing in this game with an injured thumb. So, it's going to be, you know, I think he's going to be getting a lot of carries. He's going to probably be, sharing carries with, who's that? Wilson, Josh Wilson, Jr.
Yeah. Jeff,
I believe.
Wilson Jr. and Trey Sermon are going to be the starting running backs.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's everything. I would just be, as a defensive coordinator, if I was Joe Cullen, I'd be watching him and trying to minimize him throughout this game. And, you know, getting pressure on Garoppolo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to bring this comment up here. Well, one thing about Trevor Lawrence is that he's pretty mobile. In college, you know, I saw him, how good he was, you know, with his legs and the same thing. And one thing that I will say, and we're going to talk about it in just a quick moment, is that when it comes to mobile quarterbacks, I think one thing that's going to hurt us is Trevor Lawrence. I think if your coach's game plan – Trevor as being out of the pocket and running, that's going to give you guys a chance to beat us. And one of the things that I've been noticing with the 49ers is that when it came to Jalen Hurts, he almost had 90 yards on the ground. Russell Wilson, you know, is not the same, but, you know, he's still very dangerous. Hard for us to take him down. I forgot who else that we played. Kyler Murray, you know, he gives us a hard time. And then Justin Fields, a rookie, gave us 100 yards on us. So that's one thing that that I do agree with that comment. I wanted just to bring it up there just a moment. So that is true. Yeah, so the best way for me, for you guys to defend Deebo Samuel, is to make sure there's someone on him, like basically tight coverage, and be on him. Because Garoppolo has a very fast release, and Debo's going to catch it. But as long as there's a receiver and there's no space, he's going to catch probably the ball. Say if they're going to do like a screen pass, as long as you're able to, you know, get through those screens and, you know, take them down, like the Green Bay Packers, we were horrible with our screen game. So, and that's going to be one thing that I will say, because on that 4th-and-6 against the Rams, I don't know who was covering Deebo Samuel, but Jimmy threw it right there, and he had a defender on him, and Deebo still basically gashed him. So that's the best way for me to say how you defend him. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has so much speed, and he can get separation. So, you know, that matchup, Deebo Samuel versus Shaq Griffin, is going to be one to look out for. And if Shaq gets beat, you know, he's going to need safety help. I mean, Rayshon Jenkins is going to have to step up and really help him out if he gets beat, you know, beat deep. You know, in another matchup, I think we should talk about maybe later is the Tyson Campbell versus who's your other wide receiver? I think it's Brandon Ayuk, right?
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, sorry, I had a little lapse of memory there. That's another one, you know, that could be an interesting one to look out for, because Campbell's kind of unfortunately the weak link in the secondary. He's a rookie, he's still learning. He had a better game against the Colts, but, you know, I could see a lot of targets from Garoppolo on his side of the field, based on how he's playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree, and we will talk about those matchups and in just a moment. But I wanted to basically move on to my favorite conversation, and I know you already know, is Nick Bosa.
Yep.
Nick Bosa. And I basically, you know, I've had this conversation already. This is now the 10th time I'm having this conversation about Nick Bosa. But Nick Bosa, you know, of course, is having a type of season, like I would say, like a defensive player type of, you know, season. And you look at what he's done in 9 games, 8 sacks. So he's basically getting close to a sack per game, 31 tackles. Out of those 31 tackles, 13 tackles for loss. You can see why Nick Bosa is very physical. He's hit the quarterback 19 times. So it really shows you that he's able to get the quarterback. And one of the things that I found out very interesting is he's forced 5 fumbles. So when you look at it, your rookie quarterback, how do you stop this dude? Because personally, you know, maybe I'm just biased. I don't think someone can, you know, like, no matter how good your left tackle is, you know, because he showed it against a 6'8", 375-pound left tackle, and he still torched that left tackle. So what are your thoughts? You know, how do you stop him?
Yeah, I think you got to utilize James Robinson in pass protection. He's been really good. So I think, you know, he's got to keep his head on a swivel. He's got to be looking for Nick Bosa. Cam Robinson has to have a good game. But I think, you know, that's one of the key matchups there in this game. I'm concerned just with Trevor's blindside, him taking a big hit and maybe leaving the game, or hopefully not. But, you know, you never want him to get injured. But I think a key is going to be the running backs in pass protection and how they pick up the blitz and be looking for Nick Bosa, because if they're not able to do that, it's going to be a rough day for Jacksonville.
Yeah, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, like, this guy's coming off an ACL injury, and I don't know how, because usually, you know, some people who have ACL injuries, they're still able to play, but they're not at the level. I thought Nick Bosa was probably going to have 7, maybe 8 sacks for the entire year. I didn't think he was in the match his rookie season, but the way it's going, you know, we're probably going to get our first double DAC, digit sack player since DeForest Buckner back in 2018 when he had, I think, like 12 and a half sacks. So for sure, he's probably going to pass that. I don't know who's the all-time 49er with the most sacks per season, but we're going to start to hear it very, very soon. But that's all I have to say about Nick Bosa, you know, so that's all I can say about Nick Bosa.
Yeah, an incredible talent, defensive weapon, incredible, like you said, recovery from that ACL injury. And yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he's probably going to have a double-digit sack season, and he's going to be one of those generational players for you guys.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. And now we're going to go by the numbers, my favorite segment, because I'm a numbers guy. I love the numbers. We're going to start off with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then we're going to talk about the 49ers. So first, we're going to talk about the defense, and then we're going to talk about the offense. So basically, this is the offense and defense by the numbers. So the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, their pass game has been allowing 260, almost 161 yards per game. They rank 25th in the league. But versus their run game, which is 12th in the league, besides the numbers, because the numbers don't tell the full story, do the numbers tell the full story, or what are the numbers not talking about when it comes to the defensive side of the ball with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, I mean, I think the 25th in the league for pass coverage, I think it's probably a little worse. And I would say this: I think we don't have one of those lockdown corners yet. So Shaq Griffin, I mentioned him, you know, previously. I think he hasn't been able to come down with the ball. He's had like three interceptions that were like thrown right to him, pretty much, and he bobbled them and dropped them. So I think the Jaguars still need to look for that ace corner. And I don't think we've ever really recovered when we traded Jalen Ramsey away. We never got that kind of corner that's going to, you know, lock down your number one or your ace wide receiver. So I think that's somebody that's somebody that we need to find, I guess, in the draft. And I think the run defense, though, our ranking, that's pretty accurate. We've been able to shut down the run pretty well. I mean, I think Damian Wilson's doing a good job, like you mentioned, linebacking core stopping the run. And I think we were able to minimize Jonathan Taylor, you know, last week, mm-hmm. which could have been a disaster. So,
yeah, I want to say hello to my boy Pinor, and I know he means this with the most respect. He says, yeah, your audio. And your audio has been a little bit glitchy. You know, I've been trying to be respectful as possible. But he was just basically having a little fun at you because, you know, talking about your team ain't good. But he says, you're a nice dude, man. But, you know, I have some sarcastic 49er fans. But thanks, Pinor. You know, besides all of that other stuff, you know, the audio has been a little bit glitchy. I've been very respectful. I don't want to be, you know, telling you every 5 seconds about the audio.
But, is it going in and out, or is it like it sounds okay on my end? But I guess maybe I don't know if the live stream is.
Yeah, basically, like every 5 seconds, you know, you talk, and then it's like 3 seconds of like you can't hear nothing, and then 5 seconds you're doing okay. So it's been glitching out, but I can hear you, you know, things like that. But yeah, just a little situation with that. You know, it happens. No worries, it's okay. So let's continue going on with the show. I'm sorry that, you know, got us a little bit off track, but let's continue with the show. Yeah, so one thing about the 49ers is that if the pass game, you know, is, you know, your weakness, and the way we played against the Chicago Bears and their pass game, their pass defense was also a little bit of an issue, and Jimmy Garoppolo had probably his best passing performance of the season. He also had his best running performance of the season. And if the Jaguars defense, when it comes to the pass game, is a problem, you know, I personally don't see it, you know, that's going to be a problem, because Jimmy Garoppolo does not really throw the ball deep a lot. And I could be wrong. He might throw the ball deep, but one positive thing I can say for you guys is that when it comes to how Jimmy, you know, he's not going to be taking a lot of shots, and we'll see how the corners, you know, adjust against our receivers, because this is a huge possibility when it comes to the pass game, is that Jimmy will throw the football probably to Ayuk, Kittle, probably at the first down, you know, area, and they will just run it down. And when, depending on how great the run game is, you guys are 12th in the league. Elijah Mitchell is probably not going to play. He might be out already, but yesterday he was doubtful. I'm not expecting him to play. Jamichael Hasty, our number two, he is out. He's been out for a while, you know, dealing with injuries consistently. So it's going to be Jeff Wilson Jr. We'll see how Jeff Wilson Jr. does. He's coming off of a meniscus. And, of course, Trey Sermon. I do have CG watching. You know, he's a big Oklahoma Sooner. You know, I've not been a big fan of Trey Sermon. So if the run game is not doing their job, Jimmy Garoppolo, we're going to see how he does against your pass game. So that's the Jaguars defense. And now we're going to move to the Jaguars offense. So, of course, you guys, you know, your pass game is, you know, 24th in the league. But your run game is almost at the top 10. So I personally, you know, understand this. Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's still a rookie. But your run game will probably give us a big problem because our run game is pretty bad. So, again, you know, just like the defense, what are the numbers not telling us?
Yeah, I think in terms of the run, I mean, I think the numbers are right. James Robinson, James Robinson's a great running back, but I think he could be better. I don't think he's getting enough carries. So, you know, maybe we see some better numbers for him in this game. And I think he could be giving the 49ers defense a big problem. If he gets going early, it's going to be a long game for San Francisco. I think that he's going to tire out that defense. And you'll probably see them just keep going to him and try to, you know, drain the clock out and tire out that defense and maybe, you know, switch it up and go play action and go deep. So I think the numbers, the running game is probably a little better than the numbers are showing.
Mm-hmm. So basically because, you know, when it comes to your offense, as long as you guys are running the football on us, depending how well we play, Arden Key, who has been, you know, been pretty productive the last couple of weeks, may be the guy who is our run stopper, because when he's been on the field, he's had, I think, 3 sacks now in 2 games. He's been on IR for early part of the season, but he's been very, very successful. So that could be a next factor. Basically, your running back and Arden Key, depending on how well, you know, our run defense is going to be. I still am a little bit worried of the run game. We did a really good job against the Rams, but, you know, they were trailing, so they had to go to the pass game. So we'll see how that works. When it comes to the pass game, there's still a bit of an Achilles heel because our secondary causes a lot of penalties. Josh Norman, who we signed a week before the season started, he leads the team in penalties because whatever he does, and he does his job really good, but every time he does a really good play, those penalties. So if Trevor Lawrence attacks Josh Norman's side a lot, there's a possibility that, you know, Josh Norman will, like, bat the ball away. He could intercept it, but he might be a holding or, you know, like putting it, you know, illegal touching. And when it comes to Emmanuel Mosley, who is really good on the short coverage, if Trevor Lawrence decides to go deep on Emmanuel Mosley's side, there's a possibility that, again, you know, the penalty. So we also have Talanoa Funga. He's going to be starting. He's our rookie. He's been playing really well, but he's been missing some tackles. And Jimmy Ward had his best game last week. Hopefully Jimmy Ward can continue to do what he did against the Rams. So anything can happen. Like, these numbers, personally for me, you know, it still worries me because anything can happen. Like, maybe your running back can get, like, 150 yards on us, and we'll probably have, like, maybe, like, 5 penalties. So that's the thing that the numbers, they don't tell you. Like, the numbers tell you one thing, but when you watch the football game, that's what the numbers tell you. So any last, you know, comments about your offense and defense before we move on?
Yeah, no, I think one of those, you know, matchups to be looking out, Marvin Jones Jr. versus Emmanuel Mosley. You just mentioned it, or you mentioned Emmanuel Mosley. I think that's going to be one to look out for. Marvin Jones Jr., our ace wide receiver. I think, you know, he he can get separation and hurt you deep. So, you know, maybe we see some penalties, maybe, you know, maybe some pass interference calls like you were mentioning, but, I think that's one, you know, if Trevor Lawrence can get some time, he's going to hit Marvin Jones Jr. deep.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to talk about the 49ers, and the numbers don't tell the full story, just like the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I have a lot to say, but I'm going to start with the defense. So the 49ers, as I mentioned, you know, with our issues, we are still ranked in the top 10 when it comes to our pass game. But when it comes to the run game, and it's so funny how everything's opposite. Basically, like, I think this is a really good matchup for you guys. You got your, as I mentioned, one player that I spotted earlier in the show was your running back. And when we're ranked 22nd, we were 27 at one point. Now we're up there in 22nd, depending on how Arden Key and DJ Jones and the interior play for the rest of the remainder of season. We'll see if that run defense gets better and better. So the run defense for us is an issue. So I think you guys can exploit that. When it comes to the pass game, as I mentioned, those weaknesses. So when you look at what I told you, what should your team do to capitalize on these weaknesses when you look at the numbers of the 49ers defense?
Yeah, I think we have to play smash mouth football in this game, and we have to give Robinson at least 20 plus carries in this game. And probably more, you know, more like 30. And I think also we need to work the RPO. Trevor, you know, he can run the ball. So, you know, work that RPO, work the run game with Robinson. And I think you're probably going to see Jamal Agnew again. You know, I think you're going to see some handoffs to him. He had a really nice run against the Colts last week. Touchdown, it was like 66-yard touchdown run. So he's going to be another guy to look out for. He's going to be one of those players that could sneak up on you and hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, if you guys play the way the Chicago Bears did, you know, like having Trevor Lawrence, you know, run the ball, you know, of course he's not going to run the ball like he did like Justin Fields like 10 times, but Justin Fields did take it in for a 22-yard touchdown. So in the red zone, you know, that's what I would do against the 49ers. At the same time, you know, you talk about your Deebo Samuel, you know, like, you know, yeah, use them in a run game. Basically, is if you guys are running the ball heavy on us and we're not able to stop you, look what the Cardinals did to us. You know, look what the Cardinals did to us. So just take hopefully your coaches use those games to beat us. And the best way for us to counter you guys is, as I mentioned, Arden Key. Hopefully he continues to play really well in the run game. Hopefully Josh Norman, you know, just does the best he can and avoid penalties. And Emmanuel Mosley, as long as he does not give any open space like he did with the Chicago Bears receivers, that's going to be a good way to neutralize that offense. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to see what happens. When it comes to our offense, this is the thing that really, you know, makes me mad, but at the same time makes me happy. First of all, we're not going to have Elijah Mitchell and Jamichael Hasty. So that's going to be a very serious problem. Trey Sermon, you know, he's the rookie. He's the number two. And Jeff Wilson Jr., I've been seeing, you know, film on practices. He's been running really well. But that's going to be the issue when it comes to those two guys. How are they going to perform? Which is going to basically, you know, talk about our 13th pass, you know, offense, which we're averaging 244. Jimmy had one of his best games of the season, had probably the highest passer rating. But as I mentioned, they ran the ball 40 times. I don't think the Niners may have that luxury. So do you agree that if you guys have – if forced Jimmy to throw the ball, do you guys think that you have a great chance to slow down that offense?
I think it's possible. I mean, the thing that concerns me is the pass coverage and the linebackers and coverage. I think that just haven't been very good this season. I mean, if you get Kittle going, you know, we haven't really mentioned Kittle much. But I think, you know, if you get him going over the middle – and running some of those over the middle routes where the linebackers, you know, they have to drop back into coverage, it's going to be trouble. I think Kittle could really hurt us. So I think that's something that we need to be watching out for defensively. You know, Josh Allen and Kalon Chaisson, they have to be jamming up Kittle at the line, not letting him get, you know, early releases and get open over the middle, because if that happens, you guys are going to hurt us with the passing game.
Yeah, you know, this year, you know, I have been, you know, at fault not talking a lot about Kittle, but Kittle missed four games due to, you know, knee injuries. In the first couple of games, Kittle wasn't been, you know, targeted enough. He was being utilized in the run game. And one thing about George Kittle that I will say is that he's an extension of the run game. And at the same time, he's also an extension of the pass game. And George Kittle is not the fastest, you know, runner, but if he gets good open space, he can accelerate, like, you know, as he, you know, runs down the field. So that's the thing about Kittle. If you can stop him quick, he will not use that acceleration, you know, later after he gets through the tackles. And hopefully Kittle is, you know, someone I can talk about more. But one of the reasons why I haven't been talking about, you know, him a lot, he had his best game last week. I think he had two touchdowns. No, he had one touchdown, but he's had two touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. So Kittle is starting to become a very dangerous threat. And hopefully Kittle can be that X factor. Because if Kittle is there, Ayuk is there, Debo is there, you know, Kyle Juszczyk doing his job, the extension of the also an extension of the run, pass, and block game. If everything goes well, I personally think it's going to be unfair. So you are right when it comes to George Kittle. If he has a good game, that Niners offense is going to be going down the field. So I really agree with that when it comes to George Kittle.
Yeah, he's like you said, he's that X factor player, and he can run block, and he can also get out there, get open, and catch a lot of passes. Mm-hmm.
David says, "What is up, David?" He writes, "We should play Armstead inside. We have more D defensive ends than defensive tackles and nose tackles right now." Yeah, Eric Armstead is a bad defensive end, so. If he's playing on the defensive end, that's a positive for you guys. But if he's in the nose tackle, you know, that's going to be, you know, probably a bit of a game changer. But like, as I mentioned, you know, Niners are 4-5 for a reason. We've been playing horrible football. So anything can happen. Like you said, you guys beat the Buffalo Bills. So
yeah,
I am not taking you guys lightly. I'm not taking you guys lightly. So I wanted to say that as well.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to move on.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you know, with that Armstead comment, maybe we see some runs to his side more. Maybe we go off tackle and Robinson. Maybe that's something that Jacksonville, you know, exploits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And then, of course, CG says, Kittle's blocking grade is what we need. And that's true, true, true. All right, now we're going to look at some key matchups. If you have other matchups you want to talk about, but I had four matchups this year, and I actually have some new matchups I wanted to talk about. So first of all, let's get out the way. Let's talk first Nick Bosa and Cam Robinson. This is my number one matchup. I don't know if you would put it number one matchups, but the question is going to be what Cam Robinson will do versus all the other left tackles that we're not able to do. So let's talk about Nick Bosa and Cam Robinson. What are your thoughts about this matchup? Do you think it's even a fair matchup?
I think it's a fair matchup. Cam Robinson is having a better season. He's played decently. I think it's going to be really a battle of technique. It's going to be hand battle. You know, I think Bosa is going to, you know, try to work the outside, you know, work those spin moves to try to, you know, beat Robinson. So it's going to be a real tough one, but definitely one. If Robinson can minimize Bosa, I mean, that's a big advantage for us, and it may give us a leg up in the game.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's been happening to Nick Bosa is that he's been held a lot, and they have not been calling it, which frustrates me, because if they're not doing one-on-one, they're holding them, they're double-teaming them, you can see that Nick Bosa is not going to have the big stat line. But when he's able to get through all those holdings and tackling, I think, in my opinion, and maybe I'm just being the 49er, and, you know, I'm not looking at, you know, Cam Robinson, because I don't know too much about Cam Robinson, but I will say that Nick Bosa, if he's not held, if he's not double-teamed, he's going to give Trevor Lawrence a hard time, even though Trevor is able to, you know, maneuver out of the pocket. I wanted just to point that out as well. So when it comes to Nick Bosa and Cam Robinson. So the next matchup is something that I should have been putting on for quite some time, but I haven't been but this is the first time I'm starting to spotlight Deebo Samuel against the Jaguars corners. You mentioned earlier that some of your corners have been having some, you know, they've been having some tough times this year. So let's talk about Deebo and the Jacksonville Jaguars corners. Who can actually match up with them? And do you think it's a fair matchup when you look at, on paper?
Yeah, it's going to be Deebo Samuel versus Shaq Griffin, who's our right now our ace corner. But I mean, I think there's going to be a mismatch if it's, you know, Deebo Samuel versus Tyson Campbell. That's going to be not be a good situation for Jacksonville. So I'm hoping that they line up Shaq against Deebo, because it could be a long day for Jacksonville. So yeah, I mean, that's really one of the most important matchups of this game. And I think if Deebo Samuel, he beats Shaq Griffin deep, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah. I want to say hello to my boy, Corey Davis. This guy is another top member of my 49ers Ultimate Report. Thanks very much for your great support. He's saying hello to all of his 49er friends and faithful. So shout out to Corey as well. And of course, David also says a quick shout out to Corey Davis. All right. So one thing about Deebo Samuel, and I talked earlier about, is that the separation, and as long as the quarterback, you said a Griffin, is able to neutralize them and just give them the short stuff and not have them run. Because if Deebo, just as I mentioned, gets any inch, just any inch, and you saw it against the Rams, that he was basically on fourth and six, caught the ball, and there was a receiver, there was a quarterback right next to him, and he just flew by. So as long as he's able to, you know, make sure to keep him in front of him and not even give him any type of space, that's the only way I feel that Deebo will be neutralized. But going back to Nick Bosa, and I'm, again, sounding like a homer every time I say this, because when you look at the matchups, it doesn't really look fair, because the Niners look like a better team compared to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I've been burned before. But when it comes to this matchup, I, again, this is another favorable matchup for the 49ers. So that's another matchup to look for. And, of course, I am worried about this matchup, James Robinson versus the 49ers run game. What are your thoughts about James Robinson? What has made him good this year that he's been performing at a really good level this year?
Yeah, I think it's the offensive line for Jacksonville. The interior line has been blocking pretty well. Norwell and Tyler Shatley, our center, and rookie guard that we have, Ben Bartsch, he's been doing a really good job of just opening up holes for James Robinson. And, you know, Cam Robinson's been doing a good job as well. So I think the offensive line has been playing, you know, well. I think this is going to be one of those games where they're going up against better pass rushers, like you mentioned, Nick Bosa. So I think that's going to be a challenge for the offensive line. But I think, you know, I feel like James Robinson hasn't been getting as many carries, you know, as he should have been. So I think, you know, giving him the ball in this game as much as you can is it's one, going to take, you know, heat off of Trevor Lawrence, but two, you know, if we get going, that defense is going to get tired. So I think Robinson could really be a standout player in this game.
Yeah. Before we continue on, I want to say David had a really good, interesting comment. If Deebo is double covered, you still have Kittle and Ayuk, so that's going to be an issue, because if all the receivers, you know, are out there, it's going to be very, very tough for those players in the secondary. So David says that, and that's kind of true. I have to agree with David. I want to also give a hello to my boy Gavin, my 49ers brother from across the pond from Wales, a 49er fan from Wales. I hope you're having a good day wherever the time is right now. So I wanted to say that to my boy Gavin. So yeah. So your offensive line, it's always good when you have a good offensive line and a good running back, you know, as well, you know, and that's one thing that the Niners, and I don't think this is a fair matchup for the 49ers until we watch the game. We'll see how the game goes because we don't know how these matchups are going to, you know, end out in the end, but there are some really good matchups to talk about. I give James Robinson and the Jaguars one check because we are giving up almost 120 yards on the ground, and that's a no-no. And you guys are averaging about the same amount of yards on your offense, so that's going to be something to look at. And last but not least, Trevor Lawrence versus the 49ers corner. I spotlighted this because, of course, you have a rookie quarterback, but at the same time, the Niners have a secondary that's been penalized a lot. So when you look at, you know, Trevor the rookie versus this 49ers corner group, what is something that Trevor Lawrence should do so he can win the matchups, not just by throwing the football, running the football, but what should, you know, the offensive coordinator do so Trevor Lawrence can win this matchup? Because this is a tie matchup, in my opinion. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's, if I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm mixing it up as much as I can, you know, with run and pass. And if the run is working, you know, switch it up and go play action, go deep to Marvin Jones Jr., you know, work Agnew in there as well. And then I think another matchup or another player to highlight again is Dan Arnold. You know, go to him. We may be activating another tight end that I failed to mention off of IR, James O'Shaughnessy. So he's been a threat, you know, so I think, you know, you may see him in this game. So work the tight ends, work them over the middle, and, you know, get us into some situations. You know, it's going to be the third down. We've been awful with third down conversions this year. I think we're like one of the last in the league for third down conversions. So we need to get better with that. I mean, we just need to catch the ball. And I think that's one of the main things. Like last week, we were just terrible with drops. It's been bad. So we just need to execute on the fundamentals, be able to throw and catch and give Trevor time.
Yeah. So, Corey Davis, we already had, the question answer, you know, me and him agree that, you know, he's not a big fan of Trent Baalke. So, but thanks again for asking the question, Corey Davis, but yeah, we talked about that. You know, you're not a big fan, just like I am, of Trent Baalke. All right, now we're getting to the part of the show where we're coming down to the final few segments. So we're going to go with some keys to the game. You know, you have up to three keys, or you can just name one key, depending on what you want to, you know, talk about. So keys to victories. What do the Jaguars have to do to win this game against the 49ers?
Yeah, they have to run the football and, you know, go to James Robinson, tire out that defense. I think momentum's going to be another key. You know, we're going to have home field advantage, and there's the time zone difference for San Francisco. I think, you know, that may play a factor. So I think we need to just capitalize on early momentum, be aggressive in the play calling, and go deep. You know, I feel like our play calling just hasn't been aggressive enough. Let Trevor, you know, stretch out that arm and throw deep to Marvin Jones or to, you know, LaVisca Chenault, or Jamal Agnew. So, playing good defense, you know, not giving up any big plays. I think Tyson Campbell's going to have a good game, not give up any big plays against, Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. So, And we have to watch out for Kittle too. Like I said, over the middle linebackers have to play well, good pass coverage. And I think our run defense is pretty good. So if we can just, you know, stay consistent, you know, not let your offensive line get to the second level and hit our linebackers and jam them up, I think we can win this game. I just think it's really, like you said, John, it's like you look at the talent comparison, and I just think San Francisco just has better talent than Jacksonville at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it is really true. Like, basically on paper, let me just explain how it looks like. So when Garoppolo is basically, you know, has a good run game, play action, Debo, IU, Kittle, and of course we have Trent Williams, Tomlinson, we got Alex Mack, Brunskill is out, so McGlinchey, he's also out, so we've been using Jalen Moore right now. So on paper, right now on our offense, it's a mixture of good veterans with some rookies and some, you know, second string guys, but that's still a good offense. And you look at the defense, you know, Nick Bosa, DJ Jones, Eric Armstead, Samson Ebukam, even D Ford, you know, it looks like, you know, a really good, you know, defensive line. And you have Fred Warner. I don't know how many snaps Greenlaw is going to have this game, but, you know, I think he's active. And Azeez Al-Shaair, he's been playing really well. And then you just look at Josh Norman, the name Josh Norman, Emmanuel Mosley, Talanoa Funga, he's pretty good for a rookie. And Jimmy Ward, like on paper, the 49ers look like a much better than a 4-5 team. So there's a reason why we're 4-5. It's just the inconsistency. So I agree with that, what you just said, that the Niners should win this game easily, but anything can happen. On the 49ers side, so when it comes to the 49ers side, the keys to victory is basically one-on-one, how the one-on-one matchup with Nick Bosa. Two, depending on how Azeez Al-Shaair and Fred Warner, if both of them play really well, they're a good extension of the pass game and the run game. And then, of course, depending on how the secondary plays, it's going to be about minimizing the penalties and keeping the receivers to the very short stuff. And that's going to be the keys on the defensive side of the ball. And the question is going to be the keys to victory. If Trey Sermon and Jeff Wilson Jr. combine to get close to 90 rushing yards, those two guys, and Jimmy Garoppolo is able to play action very well, that's the keys to victory for the 49ers. So that's my keys to victory when it comes to the 49ers. Before we move on, are there any other keys to victory that you want to spotlight?
No, I think you captured a lot of them, and I captured them. I mean, just, you know, playing good defense, not giving up any big plays. We had some special teams mishaps last week, so special teams have to be there too. I mean, you can't be missing extra points. So I think we captured them pretty well.
Yeah, and yes, Corey Davis, CJ Beathard is the backup quarterback. Yeah, Corey Davis always has really good questions because we had CJ Beathard. So yeah, that is true, true, true. All right, let's move on to the predictions and final score, the final segment of the show. We have to do it. I know we don't want to, but what is a prediction and also a final score? Let me know what is going to happen in this 49ers game. And of course, who is going to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, I try to be optimistic, John, but I think 49ers come away with this win. I think it's probably a 14 point game. I think maybe like a 14-28 49ers. But that's how I kind of see it. I just think that it's going to be a talent matchup, and I think 49ers just have the better talent.
I want to say hello to Gonzalo, my boy, another international friend of mine from Belize, says Wilson and Sermon will run us to victory. So that's his prediction. And Gonzalo also said my prediction is 27-14 victory. So that's what Gonzalo's prediction is. And also, everybody, put your final predictions, your final scores of the game, so I can read your scores out. So this is how I see the game playing out. This is how I see the game playing out. The Niners are going to see a rebuilding team that is not a rebuild team no more. The way they played the last couple of weeks, and they played against some really good teams. They got a very, very upset victory of the week against the Bills. And if Trevor Lawrence did not fumble the football, what could have happened? What could have happened? Unfortunately, he fumbled the football. I see this Jaguars team trying to continue that momentum against the 49ers. That is a prediction of mine. Unfortunately, I think Kyle is going to run a very conservative game plan for the rest of the year after he was trying to do something so idiotic and very different that now he's going to basically say, all right, let's play action, run the football, possess the ball, put points on the board. I'm not going to say this is a blowout, but I'm going to pick the 49ers. And when it comes to Gonzalo's pick, he says 27-14. I'm going to say this. I think the Jaguars are going to come out to play, and they're going to play really well. But I think the 49ers will control a conservative game plan to win the game. I have this score 28-17, 49ers. That is my final prediction and my score, that Kyle's going to be conservative. And on the on the defense side of the ball, I think D'Amico is going to be conservative. I think the coaches are going to be very, very conservative, just like Robert Saleh did. And that's why at the end of the year, Robert Saleh, you know, made that defense, you know, ranked in the top 10, even though we were a 6-10 team overall. So that is my prediction of the game. So let's get some of the predictions from the fans. So Corey Davis says 28-14. Corey Davis has 28-14. And also Gonzalo says his prediction, as I mentioned, 27-14. That's my final. Those are their predictions. So if you have any more other predictions, put it in, just like Corey and Gonzalo. All right. So this is coming now to the end of the show. I want to say thank you. Thank you for hopping on. But before we go, this is your minute. This is your time. I want you to let everyone know who you are one last time, where they can find you, where they can follow you, if you have any social media, if you have a YouTube channel, let them know how they can follow you. Because even though you're not a 49er fan like myself, I still want to support all the small podcasters. And hopefully one day you can be just like John Jay, you know, and have an even a bigger following. So this is your minute. Let the fans know who you are one last time.
Yeah, thanks, John. I'm Andrew from the Jaguar Podcast, and I have a YouTube channel, the Jaguar Podcast. So come check it out and subscribe. If you enjoy the content, I have, you know, player interviews, game recaps, you know, live reactions of the game. So I'll be doing one on Sunday. So stop by and check that out if you have time. And then I'm on the podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. And if you want to say hi on Twitter, you can follow me at Jaguar Podcast. And that's also my handle on Instagram and TikTok. Let me get that. Coming up with the big sack. Quarterbacks beware, we on the prowl. Game day, night, you could hear it in our growl. Intimidation on to keep their hearts racing. Eating other teams live on TV front of the nation. Spectacular defensive scheme. This episode is available on the Jaguar Podcast YouTube channel. So if you stop by, make sure to subscribe and give this video a like. Also, these episodes are available on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and other major podcast distributors as well. So if you don't mind, please leave me a review and some feedback. I'd really appreciate that. If you'd like to connect with me on social media, my Twitter handle is at Jaguar Podcast. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. This is Andrew signing off. Cheers.